to be in God's presence. Amen? And it's so fun that we get to worship every week together. And man, worship team, just awesome job this morning. That was fantastic. It's just, I feel like we could have probably just worshiped all morning. And they probably would have liked that, but they probably would have needed a hand massage. So, but don't worry, Steve, I'm a great hand massager. No, he doesn't want one. I don't blame him. Hey, before I jump into the word this morning, I just want to pray for a few things, and I'm asking that you would join with me. I love that we spent some time just praying earlier, but I want to pray just for number one, our youth are going to camp, and here's what I want to pray. I want to pray that kids, young people, not kids, would have an encounter with God at summer camp. They leave on Saturday, and so I'm asking that we all week would just be praying for our kids, because I know, like many of you, that my life was changed at a summer camp. And I know many of you would say, yeah, I had mine as well. And so I'm believing that it's not just going to be a cool experience, which is going to be cool, it's going to be fun, but that they would encounter God for themselves, and that they would be able to take the relationship that is grown out of summer camp, and it would carry them for their adult life. So would you join me in prayer for that? I also want to pray. I want to pray for our state, people in California, for our forest fires. We know people that are in Redding, California, and they just need rain, right? And in Eastern Washington, countless fires that I know it's summer, and that's what happens in the summer. But let's just pray for protection and just and healing and rain would be good for down there. That the Lord would just calm those fires. I want to pray for that, and then I want to lift up Jane Solard, a member of our body here, who over a month ago fell when she was visiting some family and got all banged up, but then has had complications, and is just having a hard time recovering, an infection, and just a number of different things going on. So I want to lift up Jane, who's a member of this body this morning, and really anyone else that's dealing with sickness for that matter. So would you join with me as we pray today? Father, I thank you that you tell us to pray without ceasing, to pray often. Father, we come to you this morning, Father, and I thank you that you are a God that answers prayer. Father, I thank you that we can pray to you. We can let our requests be made known to you. And so, Father, we just come on behalf this morning of Jane Solard. Father, we ask that you would heal her. Father, we ask that there would be no infection in her body. Father, we ask that it would be a quick recovery for her. Father, that this would not be a setback in her health, that this would not be a setback in her life, but Father, that you would fill her with your strength today. Father, we thank you for Jane and the faithful, amazing lady that she is to your kingdom. And Father, we just bless her today. Father, we thank you for her. God, we lift up everyone that's affected by these fires in our state, in California, in our nation right now. And Father, I thank you that you are the God of the wind, that you are the God of the sea. Father, that you are God over all creation. And Father, we just ask, Father, that you would just, Father, that you would send your rain. Father, that you would calm the storms that are raging in those areas. Father, I thank you for our first responders. Father, we just pray your blessing upon them as they are doing the trenches and the ditches and just working hard. Father, I ask that you would strengthen them, that they would feel supernatural strength from above. Father, that you would give those in authority your wisdom and your insight of how to fight the fire effectively. And Father, we pray for safety and protection for all those families, all those homes, all those people that are right in the hot zone. Father, and that you would just bring quick resolution to these things, and that there would be no loss of life, in Jesus' name. And God, we thank you for our sons and daughters, our youth. Father, and we know that they are going to prepare to have a lot of fun. But Father, I ask, God, that you would go before us, that you would go before the camp, Father, that even your Holy Spirit would go before our sons and daughters as they prepare to leave. Father, that even this week that you would prepare their hearts to have an encounter with you. Father, we know that everything can change in your presence. And Father, we ask that your presence would be prevalent in that camp, that your presence would be prevalent in their lives. Father, that they would have such an encounter with you that it would change the course of their life forever. And we thank you, God, that we have the opportunity to send our sons and daughters to camp. Father, we bless you today. God, open our ears to hear your word. Father, open our eyes to see where we can apply your word. Father, give us your strategy with how to apply your word to our lives and to our neighbors and to our family. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Awesome. Well, we've been on a little bit of a journey the last summer, and we are going to end this journey today. For the last 4 weeks, if you've been here, we've been talking. Our series has been called Sent by a Father. Okay, we've been talking about being sent, being released to do the work of the kingdom. I don't know about you, but it's a pretty exciting topic. I think there's nothing, I don't know, I say that, there's nothing I'd like more, right? I don't know if that's true. That'd probably be a lie. It's my favorite topic. I don't know. I really like talking about being sent. I really like talking about being released to do what God's called us to do, because that's the exciting part of the kingdom. Amen? Amen? Yeah? Does anyone else like to be used for God's glory? I like to be used for God's glory. And I know you do too. I know it's summer and we've been sitting in the sun. But I want to say this morning. Number one, God loves you. Number two, God has set you apart and wants to heal parts in your life. God wants to transform your mind, and God wants to transform your heart in every area, from hurts, from false mindsets. God wants to fill you with his purpose for his glory in your life. Okay, we've got to know that before we start talking about being used by God, before we start talking about being sent by the Father, we've got to understand that God has a plan for our life. Okay, and we've heard that before, but we felt, as Pastor Ryan and I were talking about this months and months ago, we wanted to break it down so practical, because we sang a song earlier, and I wrote the lyrics down, or actually I screenshotted the lyrics, and it was the song that says, "You are the way, you are the truth, you are the life," and it talks about fears. It talks about doubts. Remember the song we just sang? It says, "I bring my fears, I bring my doubts to you. God, you're the foundation and you're the way." And I felt like as we were preparing to speak on being sent by a Father, that it was so important that we break it down practical, because I can't tell you what a battle it is in so many people's minds to understand the truth that God wants to use them. Okay? I know people that have lost so much sleep stressing out over how God is going to use them in their life. And maybe you're saying, "Brother, you know, well, that's me," right? That's me too at times. Okay, I know people that could probably start a religion, or maybe not start a religion, but write a book on why God can't use them in their life. They have every excuse, and they have every legitimate excuse of why they are not good enough in God's eyes to be used for his kingdom. Because I wasn't born from this family, I didn't get this gift, I made this mistake in my life. I messed up. I don't read my Bible enough. And again, those things may be true, but they're not disqualifiers for being used by God. Right. And the enemy of our soul wants to convince us that they are disqualifiers for being used by God. The enemy wants to say, because of your past, you can't be used. Because you don't have the right gift. Or how about this? You don't have the right training to be used by God. Anyone ever felt that one before and struggled with that one? Oh, because you didn't get a degree in degreeing of Jesus, then you can't be used by God. And so that must be for the pastor, or that must be for someone who's got that more experience than I do. Or how about our age? I'm too young. I'm too old. I'm not this, I'm not that. And again, the enemy of our soul wants us to believe that those things are true. And so many times we see those same people, when we struggle with those thoughts of I'm not good enough, we then find ourselves getting bitter. We then find ourselves going, well then, God, why won't you use me? We then find ourselves having regret in our life of, man, I wish I would have done it different, or I wish this would have happened, or I wish that would have happened. And then we begin to say, this Christian life is pretty boring. Well, I can't tell you how many times in my life, especially younger, I'd be like, man, this is boring. My my Christian walk is boring. And it's usually not because God doesn't want to use me, or it's not because God's kingdom isn't advancing. Usually it's because I'm not participating in the kingdom that he wants me to participate in that moment in my life. Okay, 9 times out of 10, it's not a problem with anything else other than it's a problem with the condition of my heart. Okay, and the enemy wants to let us believe those lies this morning, and I want you to just remember that God loves you, that God has set you apart. He wants to heal you and transform you for his glory. Okay, so the last 4 weeks, we said have breakfast with Jesus, meaning spend some time getting healed in God's presence. We've said God wants to use your story and your testimony for his glory and for kingdom purposes. And I'm praying for opportunities that you would have to share your story with others, because God has given each of us a testimony. He says that we overcome by the words of our testimony. So we talked about our story. So I hope you're sharing your story. And then last week we talked about responsibility. And we used an example of baseball and a fly ball falling in between two players. And we talked about being New Testament priests, didn't we? And so we're all called to be New Testament priests, meaning we're all called to carry responsibility and wait in the kingdom that will help people experience God. And this week, we're going to talk about something different. But what I love about this whole series and looking at the life of Jesus is Jesus didn't ask his disciples to do anything that he wasn't willing to do himself. Right? He didn't say, hey, I want you to do this, but I would never do this. In fact, he upped the ante and he said, do as I do. And everything he asked his disciples to do, he said, watch me, because I already did it. And he's probably did it, you know, 10 times to their one time. And the same is true for us today, that Jesus is never going to ask you to do something in your life that he hasn't already done. He's not going to say, hey, I know I said this, but I don't really mean it. But he already went before you. He already stepped out in faith. He already raised the dead. He already, you know, conquered death. He already had some hard circumstances that he went through. And so he wouldn't ask you to go through something that he wasn't willing to do. So I want to say this morning, that being used and sent by Jesus does not require a spiritual degree. It does not require a college education. It does not require so many years of life experience. It requires that you take a little bit of faith that you have and that you apply that faith in obedience to what God's calling you to do in your life for that moment. Okay, that's what it takes this morning. Amen? So, turn in your Bibles to John 13. And I'm going to read some scripture. If you don't have your Bibles, you can follow with me. But we're going to read one of the last moments that Jesus had with his disciples, and then we're going to make some points to our lives today. But it says this. It says, and I'm reading out of the Passion Translation. I think it reads really well, and I can apply it to my life. It says, Jesus knew that the night before Passover would be his last night on earth before leaving this world to return to the Father's side. And throughout his time with his disciples, Jesus demonstrated a deep and tender love for them. And now he longed to show them the full measure of his love. Before their evening meal had become, the accuser had already planted betrayal into the heart of Judas, son of Simon. Now Jesus, verse 3, was fully aware. Say, fully aware. He was fully aware that the Father had placed all things under his control, for he had come from God and was about to go back. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer robe, took a towel, wrapped it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' dirty feet, right? Not just feet, nasty feet, and dry them with his towel. But when Jesus got to Simon Peter objected and said, I can't let you wash my dirty feet. There it is. At least he knew his feet were dirty, right? I can't let you wash my dirty feet. You're my Lord. Jesus replied, you don't understand the meaning of what I'm doing, but soon it will be clear to you. Peter looked at Jesus and said, you'll never wash my dirty feet. No, never. But Peter, Jesus said, if you don't allow me to wash your feet, then you will not be able to share life with me. So Peter said, Lord, in that case, don't just wash my feet, but wash my hands and my head as well. Right? That Peter, God bless him. Verse 10, Jesus said, you're already clean, Peter. You've been washed completely. You just need your feet to be cleansed. But that can't be said of all of you, for Jesus knew which one was about to betray him. And that's why he told them that not all of them were clean. After washing their feet, he put his robe on and returned to his place at the table. Jesus said, do you understand what I just did? Because they were probably like you and I, right? Probably a day late and a dollar short. Jesus said, you've called me your teacher and Lord, and you're right, for that's who I am. So if I'm your teacher and your Lord and have just washed your dirty feet, then you should follow the example that I've set for you and wash one another's dirty feet. Don't you wish it said wash one another's clean feet? I do. Now do for each other what I've just done for you. Verse 16, I speak to you this timeless truth. A servant is not superior to his master, and an apostle is never greater than the one who sent him. So now, put into practice what I've done for you, and you will experience a life of happiness enriched with untold blessing. Wow. All right, one of my favorite moments in Jesus' ministry and Jesus' history, right? A verse of scripture that I've said, man, I want my life to be lived out of this portion of scripture where people can say he was a man that served others. And the title of our message today is Sent by a Father, Live to Serve. Live to serve. And I say that, and in our minds, we all think of, well, they're going to ask for needs that the church has. Well, I don't think we're going to, right? I don't have anything planned. We're not going to talk about volunteering this morning because there's a difference between volunteering and living a life of service.
Yeah.
Okay, there's a difference between, you know, helping the church out or serving in kids' ministry and living a life that is there to serve others. And so I want to talk about a life to serve this morning. I heard a quote this week from Albert Einstein. I think you've heard of him, but he said he got a lot right. I don't know if he got everything right, but he said this. I think he got this right. It says, only a life lived in service to others is worth living. Listen, in the day and the age that we live in that says it's all about me, that says get to the top as fast as you can, and bring as few people as you can, right? Doesn't matter how you get there, just get to the top. In a world that's so centered around me, my needs, I think we could take a little dose of only a life lived in service to others is worth living. Because it is so counterculture to what our society is saying. It is so opposite of what we're seeing taught in our world. And we need the church to stand up and to rise up in the counterculture of not being so self-absorbed, but being so others-absorbed, if that's even a word. Okay, I want people to look at us and say, your life is a life worth living because it's lived a life that serves others. Okay, Jesus did this. Okay, the first point I want to make today is his love was put on display. Okay, his love was put on display. If you remember the scripture we just read, it said all throughout his time with his disciples, he demonstrated a deep and tender love for them. Okay, so Jesus, this wasn't the first time Jesus has said, hey guys, I love you. This wasn't the first time that he showed them his love. But this time, it says he longed even more to show them the full measure of his love. Okay, Jesus just saying, hey guys, I love you. Hey Pete, love you, bro, wasn't good enough. He said, no, I want them to see my love put on display for them to the fullest measure that it can. The fullest measure. You know, for, I don't know, 40-something years, maybe 50-something years, we've been saying, all you need is love. Right? All you need is love. If the world sang it, Woodstock, the Beatles sang it, right? Love that song. All you need is love. All you need is love. In the church, we've said it a lot. All you need is love. Dun, 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 dun. Right? All you need is love. Love. Right? That's all we listened to growing up. The Beatles. Right? Woo. My dad's not even here. Yeah, we had some good times in that truck. But love, love, love. In the church, we talk about it. Well, we just need to love more. And I say, yes and amen. We need to love more. But love can't be just this imaginary saying or slogan or a song. Love has to translate into display. Love has to translate into something. Because when I say, well, I just want to love people more. Okay, well, how do you do that? I just love them more. Man, right? Got to add man to make it sound. I just love them more. Well, how do you love them? Well, I just love them. Right? But when we're talking about our love putting on display, there has to be a point where it says, I love people and my life reflects it. I love people and I'll show you, I won't tell you type of thing. There has to be a display that says, I love you. Okay, John 13, 35, we didn't read it, but if you continue this morning, it says, for when you demonstrate the same kind of love that I have for you by loving each other, everyone know that you're my true followers. This is where we get the phrase, they'll know you're Christian by your love. Okay, so he's saying, hey, when you demonstrate the same love I have for you, he doesn't say when you just say you love them the same way I do. There has to be a demonstration of love that comes upon our hearts that says we love people. We love whoever it is. That's a general term, people, right? We love people, so we are going to blank. So Jesus, out of his love, washed their dirty feet. Out of compassion, he did numerous miracles. Listen, 83% of Americans say they're a Christian. In fact, people say it all the time. We are a Christian nation. And I pray that we would be more Christian in our future than we maybe are right now. Okay? We can't just say, I'm a Christian. There has to be true followers of Christ leave an effect on people. When I encounter you or you encounter me and you have a relationship with Jesus, when I walk away from that encounter and I say, there is something different about that person. It is not just, well, there is something different about that person and I want nothing to do with them. There has to be an encounter if we truly love people, where people feel the demonstration of our love. You know, I've always... It's scary if you really think about this scripture, because it says that others are going to be able to tell about your relationship with Christ by how much you love them. Oh, Jesus, right? Oh, Jesus, help me. Because sometimes I'm not very loving to my kids, to my neighbor, to the guy that's going 15 miles an hour on the freeway in the left-hand lane on Highway 18. No, I want to do other things and speed up. And then when I go by, I just stare at him awkwardly. But I don't do that, because he wouldn't feel the love of Christ with my angry eyes. Okay? Because others can gauge my relationship with Christ based on the demonstration of my love for them. Listen, the world knowing that we love them is not enough. The world needs to know and see that we love them. Because I could tell people all day long I love them, but if they don't feel it, they're not going to believe it. Listen, Jesus didn't just serve his disciples that night because they were dirty, which they were, right? The scripture we said emphasized dirty like four times, right? Jesus didn't just wash their feet because someone had to do it. Jesus washed their feet because they were his own. There's something here that Jesus models that says, I'm going to love you, and I'm going to show you that I love you, and I'm going to serve you, even if I don't agree with you. Because he knew what was in Judas's heart. Right? It says he knew what Judas was going to do. And I don't think he agreed with what Judas was going to do. He modeled it even when it went away, what was right at that moment. It was not right what Judas did. And it probably would have been very easy for Jesus in his flesh to say, Judas, I know what you're going to do, and I'm going to stop you. In fact, Judas, know what I'm going to do? I'm going to wash 11 guys' feet and not yours. Because that's what I would have done. Right? Because, Judas, I'm not going to serve someone that's my enemy. I'm not going to serve someone that's going to betray me. But Jesus took it one step further. And Jesus, you don't have to agree with someone to show your love for them. Can I just say that this morning? You do not have to agree with someone to show your love for someone. And I believe that's a sticking point in many of us today is, man, I don't agree with lifestyle. I don't agree. And so I'm not going to show any love because I disagree. And the Lord would say, would you still show your love? And you don't have to agree. Yep. Listen, Jesus knew that he was going to get the short end of the stick, but he did not hold back his love. He did not go into self-protection mode because he was going to get betrayed in a few minutes. But he served. Put your love on display in your life. Number two, God wants us to see serving as ministry. Okay, it's not just a job to do. It's not just, well, someone's got to do it, right? Though someone probably does have to do it, right? But see, serving as ministry. You know, Jesus could have hired a slave to do the job, right? That's what was common to do, is when you had guests over to your house, you would provide a way for the guests to get their feet washed because of the, you know, no pavement and sandals and all that stuff and nastiness, right? So it was common to get your feet washed at someone's house, but it was a sign of honor for the host of the party or the owner of the home to do it. And so Jesus gathered his friends, and so he wasn't just saying, hey, I'm washing your feet because it has to be done and it's custom. He says, I'm washing your feet and I'm going to do it myself because I want to honor you, because I want to minister to you. Heart change takes place where servanthood is expressed. It's amazing when you and I say yes to God, what can happen after you say yes. I'm not a big statistic guy, okay? And anymore, you can just Google them, and it's like, what, they don't mean anything. Everyone's got a statistic for everything. But they say that over 90% of people that come to meet Jesus don't come on their own. Meaning, they get invited by someone to church, or they have a relationship with someone, and that relationship leads them to church. And again, we could say, well, there is that 10%, right? So you're telling me there's a chance. You're telling me, well, yeah, there's a chance that someone just comes to Jesus just out of the blue, and I just want to give my heart to the Lord. But 90 other times, they're going to come. Because you've ministered to them out of the relationship that you have with them in your life. I would put my money on that versus just, well, they're just going to get saved. They're going to get saved because you've served them and you've ministered to them through relationship. Hey, I love Peter, and we could talk a whole lot about Peter. You know, Peter gives me hope. I hope Peter gives you hope. If I was alive in Peter's day, I would try to be Peter's best friend. Because all his goofy mistakes, all his knucklehead and his just craziness, he'd make me look real good. You know, I mean, if you have a best friend, you want to have a best friend that, you know, he makes all the knucklehead moves and then your knucklehead moves get overlooked, right? I unfortunately, two of my good friends are both very good at doing romantic things for their wives. And it is the worst thing for me. And it's the worst thing for my wife too, because they are so good at, like, oh, I wrote my wife a song with my guitar and I figured out a way to float when I did it, and I'm going, they were out of cards again on Mother's Day Sunday morning. I'm going to have to get her a generic card, and you know, right? But Peter, if Peter was around today, I would be his buddy, because he gives me hope. Right? He gives me hope because I do those same things. Right? And Peter didn't get it, did he? Right? But Jesus, he wasn't coming just to wash Peter's feet, but he was coming to get a truth inside of Peter's heart that would carry him for the rest of his days on this earth. Right? He was there to say, Peter, would you get the heart of what I'm doing? And Peter, it took him a little while, and I think he got it at some point, and then he probably didn't get it a few times, and then got it again. But when we serve, we're ministering. And I hope that we're challenged to view our lives differently, because that means when we serve whatever we're serving, we have an opportunity to see healing happen. We have an opportunity to see restoration happen. Okay, if you read the scripture, if you go back, it says that Jesus was doing that because he wanted to cleanse. And that's the same is so true for us today, that Jesus doesn't want to just get people saved, but Jesus wants to get people healed. Jesus wants to get people restored. Jesus wants to get people transformed and walking in a new way of life. And Jesus wants to use you and I to be a part of that cleansing process. He didn't come just to, you know, shuck it to the cob and get them saved. He came because he wanted to see healing in their hearts. Jesus just didn't wash their feet because they were dirty. He washed their feet because he wanted them to cleanse their heart. And he wanted to cleanse Peter's heart from some wrong thinking. Third thing I want to say this morning. So serving is a ministry. The third thing I want to say this morning is, and you're going to go, what? This is how my brain works. You can go get the milk, or you can go get the milk. Yeah. You can go get the milk, or you can go get the milk. Case in point. Parents, I'm going to change milk to garbage. My kid can go take the garbage out, or he can go take the garbage out. Right? First example. Dropping things all the way to the garbage can. Can't lift the lid, so I'll just leave it by the lid. Argue about it the whole time, or he can go take the garbage out. So you can go get the milk, or you can go get the milk. You see, Jesus was willing to do at that moment what no one else was willing to do in that room. Okay, everybody knew that they needed to get their feet washed. That was just part of it. But no one, Peter didn't volunteer to do it. All Peter did is say, Lord, you shouldn't do this. Don't you love that guy that just points out a problem but that's not willing to be part of the solution? Like, Jesus, you can't do it. Looking for someone else. And he's not once does he go, I can do it. Right? You can go get the milk, or you can just go get the milk. Meaning, everything we do can have kingdom purpose to it. When my wife at nighttime says, honey, we do not have any coffee creamer, and I am not a nighttime person, and I want to be in bed, but I know how our morning will go without said coffee creamer. Not good. And I can go get the coffee creamer, I can go get the milk, and I could say, well, you should have gotten it on Monday when we were at Costco. You should have gotten it on Tuesday when you were at Safeway. And you should have gotten it on Wednesday when you were at QFC. Or I can say, I'm going to honor God in my marriage, and I'm going to serve the needs of both of us, not just my wife, because I need that creamer too. Right? Everything we can do can either hinder the kingdom in your life, or it can progress the kingdom of God in your life. From getting milk, to serving, to how you treat your neighbors. Right? God wants to take our ordinary tasks, and he wants to turn them for his kingdom purposes and for his kingdom glory. Okay, Jesus is saying, as he goes on, if you read, and it says in our scripture, it says, to follow the example that I've set for you and wash one another's dirty feet. Again, the disciples could take that. We don't see how they did it. Right? We don't get very many accounts of, well, how did they do the first time they washed someone's dirty feet? Right? We don't know. We only can assume. We only can trust that they did it with a good attitude. But there is a difference when someone can tell that you're just going through the motions, or you're going through the motions because you care about them. My wife can tell when I'm just getting the milk, or she can tell when I'm willing to serve what she's asking. She wasn't born yesterday, I'll say it that way. She wasn't born yesterday, right? People can tell when we're serving them because we feel like we have to, or because we believe that God can advance his kingdom in their life as we live to serve them. People can tell the difference. They, in fact, they can spot a phony from a mile away, can't they? You're just doing that because you have to. And I want to encourage us this morning that God wants to fill all of us with a new desire to serve his plans and his purposes for his kingdom in our life. Okay, God wants to fill you with a new desire. Because I remember times in my life when serving God was the best thing I could do. And then I remember times where I was kicking and screaming all the way to the place where I had to go and trying to smile, you know, the fake smile when you're sick of taking pictures and you're like, I'm smiling because my wife wants another picture, but it's not real, it's just muscle memory. God wants to take the desire and he wants to fill us with a new desire to serve his purposes for his kingdom. Okay, and there's an excitement that God wants to put on all of us that we'll get excited every day about washing people's dirty feet or whatever it's going to be, right? Hopefully it's not like literal dirty feet, right? I'm not a big feet guy. But there is a desire that God wants to fill his people, that as they are going out and doing what God's called them to do, people are going to look and say, you actually like this. You're actually excited to love the unlovely. Come on, does anyone else want that in their life? Man, I want that in my life. I want to serve people and it not feel like a burden. It not feel like, God, I'm just suffering for Jesus. No, it's an honor to be used by God for his kingdom. Okay, it's one thing to follow the motion and just go through it, but it's a whole other thing to have desire and compassion and serve, not because I have to, because I believe that the gospel can change your life. Number four, last thing I want to talk about. When work becomes fun. And some of you are thinking, when pigs fly, right? When work becomes fun. When pigs fly, right? You can come up with other adjectives, right? They'd be pretty funny. When work becomes fun. Verse 17. So now, put into practice what I've done for you. And you will experience a life of happiness enriched with untold blessings. Worship team, would you come up? Steve, team. So now, put into practice what I've done for you, and you will experience a life of happiness enriched with untold blessing. There's the promise. Right? I'm not going to twist my own arm this morning. The promise is right there. God said, you do what I've asked you to do. You put into practice the things that I've showed you. You put into practice about living a life of service, and you will experience a life of happiness enriched with untold blessing. Would you stand this morning? Because we're just going to sing, and then we're going to be done. But how many of you want to live that kind of life with Jesus? Come on, how many of you want to live a life that is full of God's blessing, that is full of God's happiness, that is enriched with untold blessing? Man, that's what I want. Right? I don't want my relationship with God, even though there's times where it's work and there's times where it's a burden, sure. But I don't want my life to just, God, I'm just burdened. But I want to serve God with joy. And I want you to serve God with joy in your life because it's a good life to live. It's a good life to live. So this morning, as we're talking about being sent by a father, serving, when you live the life that Jesus lived, serving opens doors of blessing. Serving opens doors of ministry. When you do things and people don't expect it, they get blown away. That's pretty easy to be used by God. Right? You don't need a degree to serve. You don't need to agree to be part of the healing process in someone's life. Right? God wants to fill us this morning with a desire to do the work of the ministry. So let's pray. Jesus, Jesus, we just come to you. Come on, let's just come to the Lord. Father, we as we've talked about being sent by a father, and God, forgive us for where we've made a big deal out of it and psyched ourselves out when you've made it pretty simple. Father, forgive us. Father, thank you for showing us, even today, Father, what it means to live a life of service. Father, that we would be able to be excited about being used by you again. Father, I even pray today that you would fill us with a fresh fire. A fresh fire that says we get to be used for your glory and for your purposes. Father, I pray that you would continue to heal us of any wrong mindsets that would keep us from living a life of service. Father, forgive us for at times where we've had bad attitudes about serving you. Father, I repent for those times that I've had where I haven't done it with joy, where I've done it with a smile on my face but bitterness in my heart. Father, forgive us. Father, I pray that we would be a people that would be known by the demonstration of our love. Father, not just empty words, but a demonstration of our love. Father, forgive us for where we've put limits on how we'll show our love to others. Father, forgive us this morning. Father, cleanse us this morning. Father, we want to be known as people who've been with Jesus and others can tell by how we treat them, by how we love them, by how we serve them. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's sing, Steve. Come on, would you join us and sing this morning?
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Open up my eyes.
Bless you. You're released. Let's go out of here loving each other and serving.